Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We're going to talk now about Kyle Kashuv in Harvard. And listeners, this conversation will include content that's difficult to hear. Kashuv survived the terrible high school shooting in Parkland, Florida last year. And in the aftermath, he turned his experience into conservative activism. He also got admitted to Harvard. But yesterday, Kashuv revealed on Twitter that the university has rescinded his admission over racist comments he wrote months before the shooting when he was 16 years old. In one comment, he used the N-word 11 times and wrote, "Kill all the bleeping Jews." Here he is on Fox News last night.
I'm extremely sorry for it, and I wish I could have taken it back, but I can't. All I can do right now is seek to right this wrong. And I know that forgiveness isn't given, it's earned. And I know that, you know, the person who wrote those things is not who I am today.
Joining us to talk about this is Reverend Mariama White Hammond. She's pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester. Reverend Mariama, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's good to be here.
Also joining us is Michael Nitzel. He's president emeritus of Missouri State University. He's a clinical psychologist and a former policy advisor to Governor Jay Nixon. He wrote about this for Forbes. Michael Nitzel, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, we want to invite you into the conversation. What do you make of this decision? Did Harvard make the right call in rescinding admission to Kyle Kashuv for his comments, or should Harvard have accepted his apology? Can and should college students be held accountable for their past behavior? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet. We're at Radio Boston. Now, I should note that we reached out to both Harvard and Kyle Kashuv. Harvard said that as a matter of policy, they do not comment on the admission status of individual applicants. Kyle Kashuv did not respond to our request to join us or to comment. Let me start with both of you and just ask you, what are your initial reactions to this story? Michael, maybe you go first.
Well, I thought, of course, it was a compelling story in terms of another example of the culture wars that universities have been embroiled in recently. To get to a bottom line opinion on it, I thought Harvard did the right thing in rescinding the offer of admission to Mr. Kashuv. And I think that the primary justifications I've seen for why Harvard should have allowed him to continue, I didn't find convincing. And I think that in a closer look at the case, I understand why Harvard did what it did.
And Reverend Mariama, what's your initial reaction to the story? Where do you find yourself focusing?
Well, I am a black minister, and so in many ways I felt my feelings about race coming into conflict with my feelings about grace. Both of those things I think are important. I think where I sort of landed in that, you know, I've tried to sort of look at this young man, and it's hard to know. I mean, the reality is that he is asking for grace, and my question then, you know, that's a larger conversation I think we need to have as a society. And then my question is, was he the kind of person that was extending that to other people? Because I guess if I was in the position of the admissions officer, I think this is a hard call. I think they had the right to do it whichever direction they chose. But if he has demonstrated an ability to do that to others, I might take it more seriously about doing it back to him. And it's just hard for me, based on what I've seen so far, to see if that's who he was.
Yeah. You know, the whole situation is really challenging. Over in the New York Times today, David Brooks wrote of the decision, "Is there no such thing as privacy or being underage?" Michael, what's your response to that?
Well, of course, there is such a thing as privacy and being underage. I'm not sure that 16 qualifies, however. Much of what Brooks and others have said seems to be premised on the idea that he was young and that his actions should be viewed in that light, that there's a mitigation because he was 16. First of all, 16 and 17 are the years in which colleges look at students' behavior and achievements and make a decision about whether to admit them or not. That's the data you have, is how does the person behave when they're 16 and 17. Second, society has decided that serious crimes committed by someone as young as 15 or 16 can be prosecuted. They can be prosecuted as adults. They do not retain necessarily the benefits of the juvenile justice system when the offense is that serious. So I understand that David Brooks was calling for Harvard to engage in the moral education of Mr. Kashuv, and that he called for them to engage in a restoration of the heart. I don't know if that's Harvard's responsibility, and I don't think it was irresponsible or irrational of Harvard to decide, based on everything that it knew, that that wasn't a task that it wanted to broach with this particular individual.
Listeners, what is Harvard's responsibility and what is Kyle Kashuv's responsibility? Call us and share your thoughts at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Ed from Westboro is on the line. Ed, what's on your mind?
No, I just wanted to agree with Harvard's decision. I think especially at somebody who is 16 years old to make comments like that, that's kind of ingrained in their personality, and you could say you're going to change, but I think that's racist behavior, and either it's learned from parents or whatever, but I don't think you just say, I'm a changed person, and go along with that.
Thanks for that, Evan. Reverend Mariama, I want to play some more tape to Ed's point from Kyle Kashuv's interview on Fox News last night.
Look, what I said is indefensible and wrong, and I apologize it for repeatedly. But what's also in that same message is I use anti-Semitic jokes. And I basically pray every week. I'm Jewish. My parents are Jewish. They immigrated from Israel. Half my family was wiped out in the Holocaust. So clearly, that's not indicative of who I am. I'm Jewish.
Right.
And I'm not anti-Semitic at all.
So there's a lot I want to unpack here. And we've had several different people make comments about who he really is. Reverend Mariama, does a person get a pass for saying offensive things about a member group to which they belong? And does the fact that as a Jewish young man he made anti-Semitic remarks automatically mean that his racist remarks weren't serious or real?
I mean, I think it does say to me, to some extent, that you're just being irresponsible with language, period. You know, as somebody who used to run a youth program, I'm going to be honest that I've heard young people do this, and I've had to call them out on it, and I've had to hold them accountable for it. I think, you know, what's challenging for me, so there's what's going on with him as a young person, and like as I said, as someone, I actually have advocated for young people to be considered young people honestly through their early 20s. The challenge that I have is, some of the people coming to his defense are not people I remember standing beside me when I was doing that on behalf of other young people that I think they are easily demonized. So I think what's challenging in here is, if we want to be a society that's about grace, let's be it, and let's be it for everyone. If we're not that kind of society, and if you've advocated for a society where some people are held deeply accountable, then you can't come forward and then advocate on behalf of this young man and say that it's unfair. And so I do think, you know, the fact that he's Jewish, the fact that he made that, I mean, I personally want to understand how you could make that statement as a descendant of a family that lost members in the Holocaust. I think there's some deeper unpacking that needs to be done about how he got to that point. But I think this is partially about him, and it's also a lot about us and about who we are and who we want to be. And I just want us to be consistent, because I've seen a lack of grace on even younger kids of color. I've seen, you know, a lack of grace on people whose names we can't pronounce. I've seen a lack of grace in other instances And so if that's who we're going to be, then he should take the same consequences. If we're going to be about grace, then let's be about grace consistently.
You know, I admit I was struck by this conversation of forgiveness we're having in this case of privilege compared with the struggle to get acceptance for, let's say, approaches like restorative justice when vulnerable young people or people of color offend in harmful ways. So I hear you, Reverend Mariama, that this idea, we either believe in forgiveness or we don't. And if we do, then we believe in forgiving everyone in their, you know, their moments of growth and development. Michael, let me ask you, one of the things that Reverend Mariama said was she has seen young people do these things. Young people sometimes just do dumb things. And some are expressing skepticism that Kashuv has grown and matured. But isn't there room for growth and maturity and redemption from that in a young person?
Oh, certainly. And, you know, I think that particularly, I believe men look back and feel very fortunate that they might have escaped some of the stupid things we did as adolescents, where we are particularly prone to impulsive and risky and often aggressive behavior. So clearly there is a "there but the grace of God go I" reaction that many adults will have to this. But Kashuv chose race as the dimension to reveal his, or to demonstrate what he called his outrageous comments and his excessive comments, which he said they were sort of competing to demonstrate. He chose race, and I don't understand really how his reference here just recently to the anti-Semitic comments as jokes argues very much in his favor. It is not a joke to say, let's kill the effing Jews. And I don't see how the animus is relieved from that comment by being Jewish yourself. If anything, it seems to me it's an aggravation of it. So, yes, I think it's extremely important. I agree with the Reverend about the importance of forgiveness and the fact that youth probably deserve extra doses of it because of the dumb ways we behave when we're young. But this seems to me to go a step beyond that.
I'd like to bring in a couple of callers here, Michael.
Yeah.
Natasha from West Roxbury, tell us what's on your mind.
Hi. I just think that Harvard's liability is a major thing to consider here. I mean, I think I understand completely and completely agree about grace in general, but I think a child who's been exposed to violence in school and has this history of aggression and prejudice is quite a liability on campus. And then Harvard cares a lot about what their graduates do. It's made very public when somebody does something big from Harvard. And what is it going to look like if in 10 years or 20 years down the line he's doing something extreme, whether it be gun violence itself or like pro-gun and anti-Semitic and racist things?
Thanks for that, Natasha. I want to add Patty from Framingham here. Patty, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think it's a little bit hypocritical to come down too hard on this kid. I know how deeply ingrained racism is in our culture, and it would be a lie to say otherwise. And people have been making jokes for since the beginning, before this country even started or when it started. So he apologized. He knows it was wrong. And I think he deserves a break, even though I do recognize it's Harvard's prerogative to rescind the admission. I think they should rethink that.
Michael, Patty says, you know, he apologized, he knows he was wrong, give him a break. In college admissions, in your experience, what role does and should morality and moral character play in that decision-making process?
Well, again, I think admissions officers try to look at these cases on an individual basis. Certainly, as you know, and I'm sure as your listeners know, Harvard has done this before. They have dropped individuals whom they had accepted because of plagiarism, because of sexist comments, in one case because of criminal conduct. There is a line, I think, across which behavior may go, where a college decides this is not the type of individual that we want to bring on campus. They view it as a risk. One of your callers already referred to that. They view it as a potential threat to other students, and they view it as being inconsistent with the kind of quality of classroom and interaction they want to have on campus. So I think that there are occasions in which that behavior can be extreme enough that it's quite a legitimate aspect for an admissions decision to be based on.
And I think we need to be honest about the fact that, to some extent, there are many good schools in America, but Harvard is seen as a sort of top-of-the-line prize school to get into. And I'm pretty sure that he will find a place to go to school. I think the question is, you know, for the thousands of other students that they rejected, does he deserve a space over those other students? And so I think that that's some of the tension in this, when you are not taking everyone, when you're not saying, you know, everyone that's qualified, we're going to let in, because there are tons of qualified students that got rejected. And so I think, you know, we do want to recognize that there's a long waiting list, and so to decide that he maybe doesn't deserve a spot over someone else who's on the waiting list is sort of the situation that they're in. And I have no doubt that he will end up somewhere.
So the question is,
should he go to a preeminent institution?
So to Reverend Mariama's point, you know, admission is not a right. It is Harvard's prerogative. And we've been talking really specifically about this case with Kyle Kashuv. In our little bit of remaining time, I got to believe that part of what's haunting any listener about this story is the idea that people can be held accountable for things they said in stupidity earlier in their lives. There seems to be an emerging collective fear that our digital, you know, trace now creates an opportunity for us to just never be able to grow and never be able to be forgiven. So just parting thoughts on that. Where is the space for moving forward here? This is an experience that increasingly people are going to have at different degrees of harm and different degrees of poor judgment, I recognize. But what's the path forward? Just in a few seconds each. Michael, please.
Well, I think that's a terrific question, and I don't have a good answer for you as to where to draw the line in general. But in specific cases, I think universities, other institutions will have to do a careful job of looking at the specific instance and trying to make the best decision they can on that. But it is that's a very thorny question.
Yeah. Reverend Mariama?
I mean, I personally believe that we should do a better job allowing people to remove social media. But I also will tell, I mean, I think to this young person, as I say to other young people, words do matter and they mean something. And before you say something, make sure that you really mean it. Now, unfortunately, that could go all the way up to the top of our leadership that's not being followed. But that is what I advise my young people, and I think that that is something that all of us should be thinking much more about.
Well, Reverend Mariama White-Hammond, pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
And Michael Nitzel, President Emeritus of Missouri State University, a clinical psychologist and former policy advisor to Governor Jay Nixon, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.